down in the gorge. And his son, Simba, has gotten down in that stampede. And he rushes over to the cliff. He looks over. He sees him in there. And oh, he just dives into the stampede. And he just pushes through the stampede. And he gets his little son. He gets him up on the tree. And as he gets past, he gets him up there. Gets him saved. He's back down. He gets trampled. The stampede kills him. It's sad. The kids are crying. I'm crying. We're just like, oh, it's just terrible. It's a really sad part of the movie. But as the dust settles, little Simba's up in the tree and he looks down. He's trying to find his dad. He climbs down out of the tree. He looks. He's, Dad! Dad! And he sees him. He runs up to him. He nudges him. Dad! Dad! He's not going to wake up. He's dead. And as the dust settles, old Uncle Scar comes up. Simba, what have you done? What's your family going to think? What's your mother going to think? What's your friends going to think? You need to run. Run away and never come back. It's like that in our life, guys. The devil sneaks in on us at our darkest times. Someone's passed away. We've lost a job. Maybe a flood came through and destroyed your house. We're mad at God. And that old devil sneaks in and just tells us, run. Don't worship God. Run away from Him. Look what He's done to you. It's not God that done that. We need to stand up. We need to thank Him in that time. We need to look towards Him, not away from Him. We want to talk about Job in the Old Testament. What a man Job was. Job was a man who was blameless, feared God, and shunned evil. Job had 7 sons, 3 daughters, thousands of sheep, 500 yoke of oxen, donkeys, livestock. He had it all. I guess you could say old Job was doing pretty good, huh? Then Satan slides in like a roaring lion, like old Uncle Scar. And says, he says to the Lord, do you have a hedge around him and his family on every side? He says, stretch out your hand, touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord saith, behold, all he has in your power, but do not touch his person. I want you to know, Satan took everything Job had. Everything he had, took his kids. Took his livestock. It tells us all through right there. Verses 21 through 22. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground and worshiped. He said this, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gaveth, and the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even though he lost everything he had, even though Satan came in and took his family, Job still stood up. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Chapter 2, verses 3, 6, and 9. The Lord again says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That is none like him on earth, blameless and upright, one who fears God and shuns evil. Still he holds fast to his integrity. Although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. So Satan again says to the Lord, skin for skin. Yes, all that man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand and now touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely touch you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan again, behold, but spare his life. Satan strikes him with bowls. He doesn't even have anything. He sits by the dump. He's just so pitiful. So pitiful that his wife said to him, "You still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." Job tells his wife, "You foolish woman." Guys, what faith Job had. We need faith like Job. We need to stand firm in the faith. We need to trust in the Bible like Job. Job was before, he was in the Old Testament, and he had that faith. He had that faith. What do you dwell on? How's your life? I heard what you dwell on is what you dwell in. You dwell on anxiety? Dwell on depression? My dad used to say to us boys, when we were younger, "Boys, you're going to come in here one of these days and find me dead in the beach." And he would say that quite often. And, you know, it really upset me when he'd done that. He's just older, he had some arthritis, and he felt alone a lot. Really good man. He knew the Bible really well. He taught us a lot. He loved us very well. But he would say that from time to time. And one day, November 13th, 2003, my brother walked in and found him dead in the bed. And I want you to know, I feel like what you dwell on is what you dwell in. If you wake up and say, "I'm just going to have a terrible day. Everything is wrong. I don't want to do nothing. I just feel awful. I can't hardly walk. I can't hardly move. My wife right now has a bad knee. I've never seen anything like it. She gets up and goes every day and something's cracked in it. I'd be in the bed crying. I couldn't move. She'd have to pack everything to me. But she gets up, keeps going, and we need to keep up and get going. We need to dwell on the victory that Jesus went to the cross, went into the tomb, rose, and saved us. We need to dwell on Him. We need to dwell on Jesus. Philippians 4, 8 through 12. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report if there is any virtue. Meditate on these things. The thing which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Colossians 3, verse 2. "Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." We need to set our mind on Jesus. We need to set our mind on that mansion. You heard in the song that Jesus has went and prepared us a place, a mansion. We need to dwell on that. We don't need to dwell on bad things here. Bad things are going to happen to us all. It's up to us to move on. Have faith in the Lord. Have faith in this Bible right here. James 4, 7 through 8. "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Flee. Just draw near to God. Ask. "We have not because we ask not." Knock. And He will open the door. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of the wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, then you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. There was that word twice. Stand. We need to put on that whole armor of God. When someone attacks us, we need to come back and just know the Bible and be able to explain the Bible to them. We need to stand firm. We need to stand with Jesus. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with you, you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with power and supplication for all the saints. He tells us right here in this good book, if we know this Word, we read this Word, and we believe in Jesus, we accept Him in our hearts. It's not hard, and it's not rocket science. All you do, ask Him to come into your heart. In the words of Johnny Sanders over at our church, Supper Well, you can't live wrong and die right. We can't get to heaven without having Jesus in our hearts and believing in Jesus. There's three things I think we can do to stand firm in the faith of Jesus. Number one, we could read our Bible daily. I read the Bible more now than I ever have. I'm understanding it now more than ever. My wife has a question, I can answer it. And if I can't answer it, I go to it and I find it. At work, there's a couple of guys that they know how I feel about Jesus and how I'm always studying the Bible. They see me. They watch me. You know, as Christians, everybody's watching us. Billy Graham once said, the closer you get to Christ, the harder it's going to be as Christians. And man, he's right. They watch and test me at work a lot. Sometimes they'll ask me stuff that I don't even know. And I don't get upset. I just say, hold on. And I go to the truck, and I check the Bible, I figure it out. And I come back, I'm all swole up, I'm ready to go. I put on my armor. I'm ready, here we go. So I think if we read the Bible more, read it daily, read some Scripture, we can stand firm, we can draw closer. Number two, we need to pray constantly for spiritual strength. We need to pray. Pray for your brother. Pray for your neighbor. I pray for this little church right here. I pray for every one of you all here. I know you guys are going through some hard times, and I'm so blessed to be able to come down here and deliver a little message that I put together. I pray for everyone that is sick. Pray for everyone. And there's people in the hospital right now that would love to be out here in a pew versus laid up in that hospital bed in that hospice room with that trek in their neck where they can't move. We need to pray. Pray constantly. And number three, we need to fellowship with other believers. The Bible tells us, iron sharpens iron. Check your circle. Do you hang out with other believers? Now, I'm not saying it's wrong not to hang out with other believers. But when non-believers. But when you hang out with those non-believers, let's tell them about Jesus. Let's put on that full armor. Let's explain to them what Jesus has done for us in our lives. Let's tell them what Jesus can do for them in their lives. There's a guy at work, when I first started there, I've been there longer than most of them. And he comes in, and one of the things I like to ask him is, do you believe in Jesus? And he tells me, he says, well, I believe in a higher power. No. My question is, do you believe in Jesus? Well, I believe in Jesus, but I just believe in a higher power. Well, anyways, as time went on, We talked more and more. And 3 months ago, he got baptized. And he believes in Jesus. Praise God. So if we put on the full armor of God, and we stand, not sit, as Christians, go out into this world, shine our light, tell people about Jesus, pray as you're sitting at the table. My wife and I don't care where we are, I don't care who we with. When we're in a restaurant, there could be thousands of people around us. As soon as the food sets down, we pray. We give thanks. Because we would not be eating that meal if it wasn't for Jesus. If it wasn't for the good Lord above, we wouldn't be able to. And we've had some people come by and tell us, you know, that's awesome, that's good that you do. And maybe they go home. And maybe there's some people that see us do that. And they go home and say, you know, maybe we need to pray a little more. Maybe we need to go to church. We're being watched. All of us as Christians, we are being watched. We need to be with the whole armor of God. We need to stand up, stand firm. Again, like Johnny said, you can't live wrong and die right. If there's anyone in here that's not a Christian, I think today's a great day to become one. If there's a decision to be made, come on up, make that decision. Get him in your life. Get baptized. Accept him. Mark 16:16 says be baptized. Get him in your life. When you get baptized, it's not going to be like magic and boom, everything's washed away. But everything you do will not feel the same. Because he'll be working on you slowly but surely. And I'm living proof to tell you that. I promise. I accepted him in my life over 20 years ago. When I went into that water at that church at Suffolk Well and came back out, felt good. Felt like I did the right thing. But when I left that church, some of the things I did, I didn't stop. I went on with my life. But I'm here to tell you today, it didn't feel the same. Because I had Jesus in me, the Holy Spirit was in me. And as we grow stronger and stronger in our faith, and we stand firm in our faith, we get better and better every single day. I'm so thankful that you all had me here at your church again today. Thank you for your kind attention. Thank you for listening. I hope that you guys received a blessing from my little sermon today on standing firm. Let your light shine. Tell someone about Jesus out in this world. There's a lot of people out there that need to hear about him. This whole world's cruel. And it's hard on us. We need to let our light shine. We need to stand up. Thank you all again for having me.
We thank you, Mark, for being here with us. We're going to sing the invitation song, number 318.
If you would, please stand. If you have a need in your heart to come up, feel free to do so.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want you forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, before you I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought you, you never said no. shall be whiter than snow, whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Our Heavenly Father,
again, we're so thankful to be in your house. Jesus, thank you for this little church and the people in it. Thank you for giving me the strength and the knowledge and your word to get up here and be able to deliver it. And I pray that someone gets a blessing out of it today. Jesus, as we go our separate ways to our homes, be with us. Guide us and direct us and show us the way, Jesus. Please let our light shine. Jesus, as Christians, as we run across someone that doesn't know you, we pray that they see you through us. Jesus, be with the sick. Let them all feel better. Be with everyone that's been mentioned on the prayer list. And Jesus, for the people that are not here today, we pray that they can return next Sunday here in the house of the Lord. Jesus, we thank you and we love you. And we pray all this in your most holy and precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Well, Mike will be back with us again in 3 weeks. So next week it'll be Scott Bocas from, he's from Bethel Church. So you all be sure to attend if you can. Another thing I wanted to mention, Jody, I know she's on the prayer list, but she's going to have knee replacement surgery tomorrow. So keep her in your thoughts. I've heard some bad things about knee replacements. And I'm scheduled to do one.
I've heard good.
And the last thing I wanted to mention, there's a young man here this morning. I think the last time I seen him, maybe this tall. But look at Will today. He surpassed everybody, I think. So anyway, Will, I've got your friends' names, and I apologize for that. Glad you all are here. Have a good day.